Blog Talk
Let's do
Radio.
It. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. Coming to you live. We got a great show for you today. We got some discussion. We got some recapturing to do. We got some motivation. We got some empowerment. And that all starts right now. Oh, yeah. I said, yeah. There is no better love. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, welcome. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. There is no greater love. There is no better love than for self and kind. No greater love. How do you say that when you're really looking at yourself? As you look in the mirror at yourself and your reflection of what it is that you are and how empowerment really works. That empowerment is the empowerment of your mind. That empowerment of your spirit. That empowerment is the empowerment of self-management and self-regulation. That empowerment for change. That empowerment for growth. That empowerment for a powerful, powerful mindset. That empowerment that has to work toward getting the change that you need in your life, particularly as a person of color. I hope you can hear me. I hope you can hear me today because there's some work that needs to be done on our people to change a condition, change a mindset, change a heart, to change a life, to really look at changing you and me. How are we going to do that? We got to first do that by recognizing there's some changes that need to be made within ourselves and that work to be done within our hearts and in our minds about who we are, how we've been conditioned, how we've been conditioned to be a people that we really aren't. Again, when you reflect on how this country was built, how it was created, and what it has manifested into, it's you, your ancestors, that had to go through the change of chains, enslavement, incarceration, menticide to produce what they call the greatest, richest country in the world. It is on your backs. It is through the suffering of your ancestors that this whole country, as we see it now, stands on. And what do we get in return? The condition of being an American. Listen carefully. You are American because you are patriotic. Nothing wrong with that. You are American because you salute the flag. Nothing wrong with that. You are American because you like apple pie, to pick your fists, ice cream, hot dogs, hamburgers, all of that good stuff. You are American for that. But the question is, do they always treat you like an American? Does the justice system treat you like an American? Does the legal system, does the government itself and all the practices and policies treat you like an American that you really are? Now, I'm not saying choose one side or the other. I'm just saying that you have to be treated the way in which, listen, when you look at those commercials that they're marketing to Americans so you can spend your money. But do they treat you like one? I just want you to stand up and say, I want to be respected for the human being that I am. There's five pillars. It's peace. You need a political agenda. You need an economic agenda. You need a health, wellness, fitness, nutrition agenda. And you really need to work on yourself. You need to have an awareness, the awareness of the activity that you need to do, the action that you need to do to get yourself together, right? You need an athletic health, wellness, and fitness agenda, a mental health agenda, a mental health wellness check to say, I'm okay, because empowerment is health and wellness. motivation, it's health awareness. And you have to push away from those things that are creating chaos in your mind, in your life, and in your body. Next, you have to have a cultural competency, a cultural plan that really helps you to look at who you are. It's the guidepost. It's the guardrails to keep us intact morally, culturally, right? It's those things that help us to improve ourselves, but to be able to say, hey, we got to stop doing that. We can't do that anymore. And I would dare say blacks can't kill blacks anymore. That should be a code amongst ourselves. And lastly, it's a comprehensive education that really gets us to looking at who we are. Can we look at ourselves for just a moment and be honest about who we've become? Because if we're killing and shooting and robbing and stealing, cussing and fussing, that's not who we are. Stand back in the moment.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brothers and sisters, the question is, do we have those institutions that define our own reality truly? Who's going to educate our children for real to give them the confidence that they need? No, who's going to educate you on giving you the confidence that you need to educate your children? I dare say that we can't get it from the public school system. I think we have to have institutions that define our own reality to help us to frame who we want to be moving forward. And there's nothing wrong with understanding what you're doing in a place that has not fully accepted you for who you really are, right? We got to get back to the terms and the terms of agreement that we're going to make with how we are, who we are, right where we are. How do we do that? You have to know who you are. You got to love yourself. And you got to start with doing the work of working on yourself to create a collective consciousness that really looks at how we love each other and how we respect each other and how we begin to care for each other unconditionally. And I think if we could do that, we'll be on our way. But the work has to begin with us. It really does. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Now it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Come on. Bring it. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What?
What?
Right here.
Hey, mama.
We
ain't going nowhere.
Right here.
Brother George, how are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. All praise due to God.
You got that right. You got that right. Welcome to the show. I know you got a great segment for us today. I turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, brother. Today's Kwanzaa principle is Ujamaa, collective work and responsibility. And I'm sorry, it's Ujima. To build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. Ujima shaped to represent an enclosed and secure compound, house. This is a symbol of safety and security, brotherhood and solidarity. It reminds us of the inner sense of security that comes from being a valued and respected part of our community, Ujima. Now today, I want to read from a book that I've fallen in love with. You know, this brother is relating to the moment. And the book I'm going to read from is From Niggas to Gods, Volume 2. The brother that wrote it, his name, Akil. Now I'm reading from a section called Niggas Must Be Killable Before They Are Killed. All persons are a direct reflection of their atmosphere. Once again, all persons are a direct reflection of their atmosphere. This means that all persons will unconsciously reflect and imitate their atmosphere, imitate the things that they see in their atmosphere, and even become what they see in their atmosphere, become their atmosphere. Now, if all persons imitate, become, and reflect what they see in their atmosphere, then this means that the one who creates the atmosphere also creates the person, the personality of the person in the atmosphere. The one who creates the atmosphere creates the thinking, the action, and the movements of the people who are immersed in that atmosphere. Do you understand this? Now, the question you want to ask is, who is it that creates and controls your atmosphere? Who is the Lord of your world? Look around you. You might not see your interior decorator face to face, but I am telling you that somebody has been hanging pictures on the interior walls of your mind. Somebody has been pumping images, pictures, sounds, or in other words, pumping thoughts into your brains. Your mind is not your own. Nope. You are manufactured, son. You are a mortal man-made product. I thought that was interesting, and you know, you could go on page to page, but to me, those type of thoughts and that type of information is directly related to what we're experiencing in our community today. Who is it that has made our minds to where we can kill each other so easily? And to me, that's priority one, because the loss of lives means the loss of a future problem solver for our people. That's a potential answer to a prayer that we have that gets snuffed out over drug deals, over territorial gang warfare, over just, I don't like you because of the way you look. You jumped on me back in the day when I was little, now I'm big, and I'm going to kill you. It's just a lot of things. But who was the one that gave us that mindset? That's the question that's there. So, Brother Marvin, you don't have any questions? Back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother George. Great, great segment. So how do we begin to take back our minds and ourselves? How do we stop the hurt? How do we stop the violence? How do we get to peace?
Well, you know, I said this many times before. We have to flood our young people's minds with positive images of the things that we have accomplished and the type of world that we built when we built the world. And it gives them the ability to become problem solvers for us again, to focus in their minds on the issues that we have as a people and how younger people can solve them, because the younger people are the ones that make the future. As much as we want to believe that we make the future, we don't. It's the younger people who make the future, because they're going to be living in it. And sometimes they make a bad future for themselves. And when you look at it, you know, like it was our generation that made the future of our young people killing each other. It was things that we did. Don't be putting your hands on my child. You know, go to the school. Don't be trying to make my child feel embarrassed in front of the class, this and that and all, you know, and never coming to the parent-teacher meetings and all of that, and just being focused on how I could get, you know, the biggest house I could get and all these different things, and forgetting about the fact that families and young people need development, and they need your time more than they need your money. And so, that's how, brother. We're going to have to get refocused, and we're going to have to start flooding our young folks' minds with positive images.
I believe that, brother. I believe that that's true. It really is. But it starts with me and you. So if you're listening, let's start today of doing the work of working on ourselves. Thank you, brother. Great segment. Guess what, y'all? Dr. Bruce, you're up. Dr. Bruce Bridges, are you in the house?
Hotep, my brother. I'm in the house, brother.
All right. Dr. Bruce is in the house. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm tired, Brother Marvin. I'm tired, but I still want to keep my commitment to do your show every other week like I said I would, and that's what I'm trying to do. But I am tired. Been up since 5 o'clock this morning.
Hey, that's the mark of a real man or a woman, being able to keep your word. That's where you started.
Yeah, hey, that's
Thank
all
you, brother,
I got.
What you got for us today? That's
well,
all we got.
First of all, to those who are tuned in, we've been discussing the book, Recapturing the African Mind, my book, of course. And today we're going to start on page 200, not right this minute, but that's where we're going to start when we start. But before I get to the book, I want to mention that I just left a fantastic leadership workshop.
Dr. Bruce, let me jump in. You got a slight echo in your background somewhere.
Okay, so I know what it is. Dr. Maxwell with me there.
Okay.
And he going on.
Dr. Maxwell. Hey. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You go. I got to say hi to the brother. Go ahead, Dr.
He's speaking
Bruce.
To you. He spoke back to you. Take it off mute. Let me get you off mute. Okay,
we
got
to get Dr. Maxwell on the show so that people can
He's
get
right
some
there with you. He's speaking to
work.
You.
All right, Dr. Maxwell. Welcome. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Good. I heard y'all having a really great conference, and I hope you and Dr. Bruce can share a little bit about what y'all doing down there today.
That's good. As a matter of fact, I'm on one phone, he's on the other, and we're going to be talking for a minute before we get to the book, and I moved away from him, so you don't hear an echo now, do you? Hello?
Coming in clear.
Okay, good, okay.
Coming in
yeah,
clear.
We went to a as a matter of fact, before I tell you what we talked about, let Dr. Maxwell tell you a little bit about the conference the class that he had up for the, I say conference, but it's a leadership. Go ahead, Doc, tell them about what we did today. I can't hear him on my phone.
Yeah, I can't hear him either.
Let me see. I don't know if he got to put it back on mute or not. Let me see. You didn't put it back on mute, did you, Doc?
No.
It should be. That was good.
Did you open up the time?
Yeah. Just hand him your phone, Dr. Bruce.
Okay. Get going.
Yeah, mute his phone.
Okay, mute his phone. Okay.
Yeah, it's a black church leadership forum, getting the church, the community, and the academia together.
All right.
3 hours twice a month. And my topic was family life, congregational system, and multicultural ministry, seeing how we can blend and work together. So I had Dr. Bridges with me. Some singers, so we use all of the senses that people have. They can look, they can listen, and they had breakout groups, and they said they have never heard anything like that before, talking about Africa, contribution to the world, and then African-American contribution on this side. We had music, videos, PowerPoints, and it was just awesome.
Sounds awesome.
And we want you, Brother Marvin, fourth Saturday, if we can, from 9 to 12. I'd like for you to be a part of it.
That will work. I had to bring my wonderful wife with me. She has her dissertation and her PhD in that very subject. So I might have to bring her, and we'd do a tag team. Yeah, it'd be the Roan and the Roan.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. So we'll get together on that. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell, for informing us, and continue to do that great work right where you are.
Thank you.
Dr. Bruce. So right now, brothers and sisters, they're kind of moving the phone around, so let's just be patient with them until we get some things back in order. But I do want to thank you all for listening today. It's a beautiful day out here in America. So I want you to continue to listen and learn something. And again, before we get started, Dr. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here. I was here on my other phone. I don't know why you couldn't hear me on the other phone, but that's okay.
All right. So let's start with why this series is so important, right, to catch our listeners up on what we're doing with the Recapturing the African Mind series. Tell us why this series is so important for our people.
All right. I think pretty much, Brother Marvin, you may have said it yourself earlier, and that is it's important because it tells us where we have come from, what we were, how we lost what we were, and how to get it back. And that's what's important, we think, as people, to first of all learn what happened to us as a people and why we're out of our minds and how we can get our minds back. And that's what we're doing now. Because once you do that, you repair the whole human being. Once you show him or her what happened, then you can move on to how to repair what happened and then move on as a people and into the future of Black America and Black people in the world. So that's what we're doing. So that's why it's very important. And on last week, just to briefly go back over something we talked about, we, of course, talked about Carter G. Woodson at the end. I made the statement from my book on page 200. Carter G. Woodson said it is indeed, he said that when a Negro has finished his education in our schools, then he has been equipped to begin the life of an Americanized or Europeanized white man. Now, Woodson concluded that the more so-called education the Negro receives, the worse off he is. Now, when most people hear that statement, they say, wait a minute, what do you mean the more education you receive, the worse off you are? I know you're supposed to be better off with more education. And that's true. If you really get an education, you'd be better off. But Woodson said the more so-called education, very important, the more so-called education the Negro receives, the worse off he is. So what we've had in this country, Brother Marvin, Brother George, and to those who are tuned in to the African American Empowerment Program today, is not education. It's really not. And we have all due respect to our teachers, our preachers. It's really been miseducation. And so that's what we're talking about in my book, Recapturing the African Mind. We also discussed on last week, just so that people will be up with us, we talked about Sidney Poitier and how when he went to Africa and what he thought of Africa because of the way he was educated, he thought all he was going to see was snakes. Snakes. And also, by the way, to those who are tuned in, some new people who I told about our program at the conference, and I know you have some of them on the line because some of them called me and told me you weren't on yet, so I know they're trying to tune in. But to those of you who are tuned in, you should get a copy of my book, Recapturing the African Mind, and then you can be up with us. But Sidney Poitier said that when he went to Africa, he was looking for snakes because that's the way he was taught. And we talked about that on last week. Now, this chapter we're in is called The Effects of Mind Destruction on African-American People. And on page 200, one of the effects is imitation of Greek fraternities, sororities, and social organizations. In schools, and I'm reading directly from my book, page 200, in schools such as Fisk, Bennett, Spelman, Morehouse, Howard, Hampton, etc., fraternities and sororities are popular. These organizations are patterned after white fraternities and sororities and use Greek letters as their symbols. Rather than finding esteem in their own culture and heritage, African Americans look to Greece for direction. Not only do they spend large sums of money to join, they also endure tremendous amounts of humiliation to become a part of something of which they have no historical knowledge. And I'm quoting myself from page 201 in my book. Now, this reminds me of when I was a student at North Carolina Central University. I was invited by several fraternities to join, but I always saw that the fraternities, you would pay money to join, but then you'd have to be humiliated. They had us doing all kinds of crazy things, not us, but the fraternity boys doing all kinds of crazy things to become a member of Omega Psi Phi, to become a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, to become a Q, or become a Kappa, or to become a Swing, or a Phi Beta Sigma, to become an Alpha Man. They had you going through all kinds of humiliating circumstances to do that. And now back to the book. The insanity does not stop there. Many African-American men and women, students whose mates, choose mates based upon what fraternity or sorority he or she is a part of. For example, Deltas oftentimes will marry Omega Psi Phi's. Those two go together. And then AKAs, they go with the Kappas or that kind of thing. And back to the book now. Often when a young campus female meets a mate, or the other way around, the first question asked is, what fraternity or sorority are you a member of? And I remember that happening to me, too, by the way. What frat are you in? Hey, I'm not in a frat. I'm in my own frat, you know. And the insanity of African Americans is seen clearly in Jack and Jill clubs, and later grows into fraternities and sororities. So we as people, when we're growing up, we join the Jack and Jill clubs, and later on they become sororities. We join the Lynx, we join Girlfriends, and we join the Boule, and it is completely outrageous for these insane African Americans to spend millions of dollars in hotels and cities during their conventions and conclaves, while African Americans are at the bottom of the economic scale in the United States. Greek-based sororities and fraternities and other Eurocentric social organizations in the African American community are other examples of the conduct of persons acting outside of the African minds. Why would you imitate European fraternities and sororities? And most times, which I don't have time to go into right now, people don't even know the origins of the fraternities and the sororities. The fraternities and the sororities that the Greeks had actually came from the mystery system that the Egyptians had. The Egyptians had societies that were secret. It was called the mystery system. But it was not about the development of the physical human being as it is in fraternities and sororities on black college campuses, but it was about the spiritual development of the human being. But Europeans took that and turned it upside down and made fraternities and sororities to become something that was physical. For example, the females who became sorority sisters. You see, in Ethiopia, there were what were called phratries, P-H-R-A-T-R-I-E-S. There were phratries, P-H-R-A-T-R-I-E-S, which is where you get the name fraternity. There were phratries and there were sororities, but they were about sisterhood and brotherhood in reality. But when the Greeks got it, they began to make it physical. And the whole idea of the gymnasium and the idea of the country of Lesbos, from which you get the word lesbian, is where many of the sisters went when men were preparing for the Olympics and all kinds of craziness, which we don't have time to talk about right now, but maybe we can do it later. But fraternities and sororities are an example of African American people being out of their minds. Back to page 201, internalization of European traditions and holidays. Now, I want to repeat this section in my book from page 201 to those who have my book. Internalization of European traditions and holidays. observations and experience with the daily activities of African people in America and also in other parts of the world show that they are indeed out of their minds. According to Malefi Asante in his book, Afrocentricity, on page 104, 500 years of constant propaganda, cultural exploitation, information distortion, and physical annihilation have left the African world shocked out of its own historical reality and purpose in the world. I want to repeat that. Malefi Asante said, 500 years of constant propaganda, cultural exploitation, information distortion, and physical annihilation have left the African world shocked out of its own historical reality and purpose in the world. Now, other writers such as Frantz Fanon, some of y'all might want to check him out on the internet when you get a chance, Frantz Fanon, last name spelled F-A-N-O-N, from Martinique. As a matter of fact, Frantz Fanon, F-A-N-O-N, first word France, F-R-A-N-T-Z, Frantz Fanon. He was a psychiatrist from the French colonized nation of Martinique. He talks about this. Another writer, Jean-Paul Sartre, S-A-T-R-E, Jean, J-E-A-N, Sartre, J-E-A-N, last name Sartre. He talks about this. And Amos Wilson, our brother Amos Wilson, talks about the backwardness and the craziness and the insanity of black people who have been colonized by white people. I always like to give you all some sources here on the African American Empowerment Program. Now, another way that we can look at and we can study African backwardness and African mentalities being wiped out is, as I say on page 202 of my book, an examination of the actions of African people on certain dates of the year exemplify the effects of mind destruction perpetuated by church and school. I want to repeat that from my book. An examination of the actions of African people on certain dates of the year exemplified the effects of mind destruction perpetuated by church and school. Due to total devastation, there's no discussion of where black people fit into these holidays and celebrations. Examples of the calendar year activities of the victims are as follows. So before I go into that, what I'm saying here is that when you see African people in America who have, as Malefi Asante said, been totally shocked out of their own reality and know nothing about their own culture and heritage, you will find them celebrating the same holidays and traditions that white people celebrate, you see, because we don't know who we are. And I go through these in my book very briefly. Most of them I can easily do a two-hour lecture on them, but we're not going to do that today. But through my book on page 202, starting off at the beginning of the year, January 1st, New Year's Day, reading straight from my book again, page 202, due only to tradition, African people exclaim, Happy New Year, sing Auld Lang Syne, and make resolutions. No thought is given to calendar date changes, location on earth, or historical origins of these celebrations. In other words, we just celebrate it and say Happy New Year. Don't know whether the year is new or old, but it's what we've been taught on the plantation. You see, brothers and sisters, much of our behavior that we have today stems directly from our time spent on the plantations of Virginia and Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and in the islands of the Caribbean. Even, for example, which I'll get into in just a minute, I'll hold that one for a minute, but we say Happy New Year, but we don't know whether it's New Year or not. We haven't looked at the calendar days. We haven't looked at the rotation of the earth. We haven't looked at the earth as it revolves around the sun to see if it's really new. We just say Happy New Year because that's what we've been taught. Next of all, February 14th, to my dear sisters who are tuned in, February 14th, Valentine's Day. African and African-American school teachers instruct children to cut out hearts designed on red construction paper. Cards and candies are exchanged by children as well as grown-ups on this day. Since the thinking process of African people have been nullified, no history is given of Cupid, bows and arrows, Roman Catholicism, and there's no reference given to the place of African people in the celebration of Valentine's Day. And when we think about it, brothers and sisters, I will never forget one of the worst arguments I ever got into was a sister, was with a sister when I appeared at her home on February 14th without a Valentine's Day card, without some candy, without any flowers or without anything. And that's when I began to realize that we as people are hooked on some of these holidays, and we have become addicted because when people are in addiction, oftentimes they can't pull away, and they go through withdrawal situations. They go through withdrawal sessions because when they can't get the drug, whether the drug is crack, whether it's heroin, whether it's marijuana, or whether it's Valentine's Day, or whether it's Christmas, if you take it away from people, they're going to have withdrawal symptoms, and they can't handle it. So I saw these holidays early on as being drugs that our people have been given in this system, which is a system of capitalism, which actually takes our money and robs us of our mind and causes us to act other than ourselves. So January 1st, you got New Year's Day. We don't know where that came from. February 14th, Valentine's Day. And when we look at it, going back to Valentine's Day, I always think of the fact that Carla G. Woodson established February as Black History Month. But half of 28 days in February is 14. First of all, it's the shortest month of the year. And then you're going to half that 28 days and say 14th is Valentine's Day. So you're celebrating Black History Month up until the 14th, and then you're going to become white on the 14th, and on the 15th, you're going to go back to being black in Black History Month. Think about it, brothers and sisters. We have been tricked as a people. We've been tricked as a people. So we're going to cut our one little short month of Black History Month in half and celebrate with a bow and arrow. And Sam Cooke sang it so beautifully. He sang it so beautifully. He said, "Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow flow straight to my lover's heart for me. I don't mean to bother you, but I'm in distress and in danger of losing all of my happiness. So, Cupid, if you will, please, please, draw back your bow." So all these things rob us of our minds. The good music by Sam Cooke. The festive colors that you see in the Dollar General and in the public grocery stores and in other stores that we shop in, you see. And then after they get us in February, check it out. Here we are again, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Back to my book, African and African-American adults and children wear green on this day. Elementary school teachers display green shamrocks on bulletin boards and in halls, and oftentimes those who do not comply are pinched. On this particular day, people of African descent are immersed in Irish culture. Now, another lecture for another time is to talk about what actually happened in Ireland during St. Patrick's Day. What was St. Patrick really doing to us as a people? We won't get into that right now, but this Eurocentric version of St. Patrick's Day is not for us to be celebrated. That's March. Now, if we go March to April, Easter. As mentioned earlier, the celebration of the pagan festival of Easter is an example of the destruction of the African mind. The influence from church and school are seen and heard throughout the African community. Listed below are some examples. I give some examples here. In classrooms, hallways, cafeterias, and throughout public school buildings, and even on African-American college campuses, bunny rabbits, baby chicks, baskets are on display. Now, I want to say very clearly, This has nothing at all to do with the religious celebration, because that's entirely different. But people have mixed in capitalism and rabbits and bunnies and baby chicks with the birth date of the man called Jesus. So we have to look at this and begin to understand so that it can be separated. Number two, Easter plays and recitations of Easter poems and songs are held in church and schools. Number three, church sermons by African-American ministers are delivered to congregations containing people, many of whom have bought new clothes and some of whom are attending church for the first and only time of the year. Some people feel like they don't have to go to church except for one time of the year. And I remember when I was a child growing up, I wouldn't go if I didn't have a new suit. Now, if I'm really worshiping Jesus, if I don't have anything new or old or whatever, that should not be held against me. But Europeans have taken and corrupted our heritage and our culture and our traditions and have mixed in with the celebration of the birthday of Jesus with bunny rabbits and chicks. And Wilson Pickett told y'all a long time ago, don't let the green grass fool you. Don't let the green grass fool you. And there's a reason why the grass is green. And there's a reason why people buy new clothes. It's because pagans during ancient times saw people worshiping the changing of the seasons. And they saw the earth changing clothes at this time of the year in the springtime. The earth begins to put on new clothes. The colors become bright yellows and greens and reds and blues. You see, the earth puts on new clothes. So those who were trying to push this new idea of Christianity on people who lived back in the wooded areas and who were so-called pagans, because the word pagan comes from the word country dweller, pagan, pagani, or country dweller. And anything I say here on the African American Empowerment Program, please feel free to look it up or ask questions later or do your own research. But so the whole idea of new clothes came from the earth putting on new clothes. Where did the rabbit come from and the straw? I won't get into all that today. But how did the rabbit get into Easter? Why do you have Easter baskets? What's the basket symbolic of? What did the pagans do to the young virgin girls at Easter time? The pagan European Christian men chased the virgin through the fields trying to find the Easter eggs. They were on an Easter egg hunt. You see, so we don't have time to get into all that right now. That's another lecture for another time, but just trying to show you here how at certain times of the year we're celebrating things that we know nothing at all about. And the last one on number four, dozens upon dozens of eggs are bought, boiled, and dyed to be hidden on Easter Monday for African-American children and also sometimes adults. And another holiday that we celebrate, as we go through the holidays here just briefly, as I said before, I could do hour-long or more lecture on all of them. After they get us in Easter, on the Easter in March and April, then next you got what? July the 4th. African Americans celebrate the independence of Americans as though America's independence meant their independence. Now let me stop right there for a minute. As I used to tell my classes, I would just go into the classroom and put on the board 1775 or 1776 when America became independent from England. Then the Emancipation Proclamation was not signed until 1863, 1865 when it was put into force. So where were you? You were still on the plantations. African Americans celebrating Independence Day are actually celebrating the independence of European people from England, but we were on the plantations and were still enslaved. So we have to know, as Bob Marley says, who we are and where we stand in the struggle. And when you don't know who you are, then you take on the traditions and take on the celebrations and activities of other people. Now, American independence meant their independence. Celebrations include fireworks, flag displays, singing patriotic songs, parades, and etc. The same genuine feelings that white Americans have for America are felt by black Americans. I want to repeat that. The same genuine feelings that white Americans have for America are felt by black Americans. Why? Because we are the offspring of white American. We are part of the colony of America, the colony or the colony. As we talked about earlier, the meaning of the word colony comes from the word colon, the base part of the word, and a colon is an extension of the large intestine. So we are just an extension of white people. White people celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Christmas. White people celebrate 4th of July, we celebrate 4th of July. October, I'm going back to my book. After July, we get into October, where we are now. October 31st, Halloween. Schools sometimes give Halloween parties and carnivals. The classrooms are usually decorated with items symbolic of Halloween, such as black cats, witches on brooms, and pumpkins. As usual, some churches try to assimilate the secular into the sacred by celebrating Hallelujah festivals. They change it around a little bit, rather than Halloween festivals. African-American children and adults trick-or-treat, as do their white counterparts. As I used to say on my radio program, the Cultural Awareness Seminar, probably one reason I don't have a radio program now, I would say, trick or treat, who's being tricked and who's being treated? We as people are being tricked. European capitalism is being tricked. When you buy candies and when you buy pumpkins and when you buy Halloween masks and costumes and all these kinds of things, all these holidays are for the benefit of capitalism. So in October, they get us with Halloween. Then after Halloween, of course, we go into what? October, then next is November. Due to the minds of African people being transformed into European minds, they see themselves as much a part of Thanksgiving as white Americans. Children in schools participate in plays as though they were pilgrims. Many African American teachers, pass around construction paper, and I remember this myself, and an outreached hand and fingers are traced and cut to resemble turkeys. I remember that myself, putting my hand on a piece of gold or brown construction paper, and I trace it out, then I cut it. I had my little turkey, you see. All this put into our mind, Thanksgiving. Now, we're not saying on this program that we should not thank God for everything that we have. Please don't say that Dr. Bridges said that you shouldn't thank God for anything that you have. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can eat turkey anytime you want to. On Thanksgiving, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You might can't afford it, you see. Eat turkey whenever you want to. Nothing saying that you shouldn't be with your families and have a dinner. But as Bob Marley said, just know who you are and where you stand in the struggle. Maybe it's a good time to do some teaching to make it clear that we're having dinner, we're getting together, we're having a community, we're having a family dinner, but we want to know, you know, where we were in Thanksgiving. Look at the dates again. The first Thanksgiving was held in America in 1621. As I used to say in my classes, you do the math. We came here on the ships, even though we were here before, we came here on the ships to where, not far, Brother Marvin and Brother George, from where you are, Jamestown, Virginia, in 1619. So you know 2 years later, brothers and sisters, you were not sitting up at a picnic table with pilgrims and with cranberry sauce and sweet potato pies and eating turkey. You were on the plantation. So you have to know where you are. And history, as John Henry Clark says, gives you direction. It's like a compass. It tells you which way to go to north. If you look at the date, 1621, and look at when you came here, and then you say, well, what was I doing in 1621? Should I be celebrating this? Of course you should. There again, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't be with your family. I'm not saying you shouldn't have your good meal and take off from work, because you know in slavery, whenever the slave got a chance to take off, that's why we really celebrate a lot of these holidays, because it gives us a time to get out the fields, to be free, and to do what we want to do and handle our own business. But I'm back to the book now. The enslavement of African people and the annihilation of the indigenous inhabitants during the period gives rise to the Thanksgiving observance is not even discussed. They don't discuss the fact they've stolen the land from our people, the indigenous Americans, the first Americans, and annihilated them, cut their heads off, made soccer balls out of them during Thanksgiving. None of that is discussed. In the same way that most of the major news media did not discuss the monarchy and the queen and the colonialism and the destruction of African cultures and destruction of African people in the Caribbean, in Antigua, in Montserrat, in Cuba, in Jamaica, in Trinidad, in North Carolina, South Carolina, in Kenya, in the Fiji Islands, and in India. Nobody discussed what the European monarchy had done under the queen. But they just talked about the queen and what a beautiful woman she was and what she did. In the same way, when thanks, and I call it thanks taken because they didn't give you anything. When thanks taken, they took it. When thanks taken is discussed, they never discuss what actually happened to the so-called native or indigenous people who were already here before European pilgrims came and robbed the indigenous inhabitants of this land, of their territory, of their culture, of their heritage, and kill them. None of that's ever discussed in the Western media. That's why it's very good to have a program like African American Empowerment Program. And lastly, and we're coming up on it real good at a good time, at the end of this particular section of the book, and also at a time when I usually end so that Brother Marvin can take questions or comments from the audience. After November, you all know what comes up in December. The big star of the show, December 25th, Christmas. As I say in my book, the effects of mind destruction are extremely apparent during the Christmas season. Listed in my book are only a few examples. Number one, belief in the 25th birthday. Number two, Christmas plays in churches and schools, decorations everywhere, schools, homes, businesses, Christmas trees in places of worship, even though the Bible condemns it and Christians claim to follow the Bible. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are spent that most times cannot be afforded. Christmas. Now, I mentioned something earlier, and I said I'd get back to it, and that was I said I'd go back to the back of my book. On the back of my book, I talk about how on the island of Jamaica, where snow is unheard of, people of African descent, even our reggae artists who are supposed to be conscious, they're singing, oh, and Nat said it so beautifully, didn't he? With his shiny white teeth and his beautiful black melanated smooth skin, Nat King Cole, he said it so clearly, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. He really said it so beautifully. And then when Melvin Franklin says, 'twas the night before Christmas, all of this puts us into the spirit, brothers and sisters. But wherever European colonialism has gone, even in the Caribbean, where the temperature is about 95 degrees year-round, they're singing chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Something is wrong with that picture. We, brothers and sisters, are out of our mind. And the Christmas celebration and mind destruction is so complete everywhere European colonizers have gone. But it even happens in areas of the earth which do not even have northern European climates. As long as Europeans have gone there and taught the people their culture and their heritage, the climate doesn't even have to fit. Because we do no analysis. We don't think about it. We just do it because that's what we've been taught. So, Brother Marvin, we'll stop right there at a good stopping point and a good time, and I'll let you go back to your part of the program, and we'll pick up with the book on week after next. So give it right back to you and Brother George.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Man, there's some feet curling, some tapping
going on with some toes and some legs and some feet, because this is a hard challenge, right? The condition and the traditions that we've been raised on is being questioned right now, right? And I think a lot of our listeners have to really reconcile with how we do what we do, right? And so
I don't
have to
mad
Dr.
with me,
Bruce.
Brother Marvin. I mean, you might have lost some listeners today, brother. You
well,
might have lost
well,
some listeners because of me. I didn't mean any harm, but I got to do what Jesus would have done if he were here. That's tell the truth. I got to do what I like to be like Jesus. Jesus believed how's it go, Dr. Matt? The truth will set you free. It will free your mind when you have the truth. But if you have lies and falsehood, you're in slavery. You're in bondage. You see? Slavery is more mental than it is physical. If you don't think so, how does the world count 300-pound elephant be tied to a stake, and then when he's kept at that stake for many years, you can remove the shackles and let him go, and he'll still follow that same little path or that pattern, because that slavery or that stake was really in his mind more than it was on the ground, because it's in his mind, you see. So just because you free people physically does not make them free. There's a reason that the lion tamer is able to control the lion under the big top. A 135-pound lion tamer with nothing but a little whip can control a 300 or 400-pound lion. He can say, up, Leo, and Leo will go up. Down, Leo, Leo will come down. Have Leo walking the tightrope and doing everything. And the reason that's done, brothers and sisters, and to those who are tuned into the African American Empowerment Program, is because they take that lion when he was a cub and hit him with a chair, with a gun, with a stick. And then when they do that to that lion, when he grows up as a big lion, he still thinks he's a cub, and he fears that lion tamer. But if anybody ever gets to the lion and tells him who he is, the lion tamer is in trouble. If anybody ever gets to the black man and black woman of America and tells them who they are, then this lion tamer or this colonizer or this racist white man that we live under is in trouble when we learn who we are.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for that. One quick thing. For our new listeners, or for someone who this information is new to, that is steeped in tradition, that's what we've been raised on. For someone to say, well, I've been raised on this. I've been raised on Christmas and Thanksgiving and turkey, and this is how we cope. This is how we deal with the American experience. It's not ours, but this makes us feel good. What would you say to those listeners who are really hard and fast on tradition because that's all they really know?
I would say, Brother Marvin, that in my humble opinion and in my concern for our people waking up, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to make them feel inferior or feel like they're ignorant or anything, but I'm trying to just make our people think and to just use the mind that God gave us. God gave us a mind. He gave us an ability to analyze. And we talked about that word, too, some weeks ago, to analyze, you know, to do on the mental level, just like we do on the physical level with that food. We take that food into our mind, into our mouths, and we chew it up, and we digest it through our system, and we take the part that's good and the other part that's bad, you know where it goes, out to analyze. You know, we analyze it. So we chew it. We digest it, and that's the way we should take this knowledge. Listen to what I'm saying, think about it, deal with it, and just put it to the test. Is it true or is it false? And just realize that we have been tricked as a people. That's all. And I'm trying to be as compassionate as I can, and just to make our people just wake up. And one thing I've always noticed too, Brother Marvin, to other people listening,
yes, sir,
and that is with the access that we have to the internet, brother, all that I'm saying is nothing new. People all over the world are saying it, it's everywhere. It's just that many of us have not been exposed to it. And the information is out there now. They can't, there's no need for anybody nowadays unless they don't have access to a computer, and some people don't, or unless they don't have access to books, then But there's no reason nowadays for us not to know things. I mean, it's too easy to get knowledge now. Go ahead to your lines, Brother
Marvin.
I don't want to keep going because we got
power.
They might want to say something. Some of the people that were in Dr.
All
Maxwell's
right.
class today, they're tuned in.
All right. So if you want to call in to the call line, it's 845-277-9250. It's the African American Empowerment. This is Q&A time. If you got a question that you need answered or you got a thought, this is a great time to check in. 845, this is the number, 277-9250.
Or just a comment.
Question, comment, all right? And we'll start with 4541. 4541, you're on live. You have a question or comment. But just tell us where you're calling from. 4541. All right, let's move on. 0673, you're next. You're on live. 0673.
Okay, Brother Marvin, and I
you
guess it's Robin. No. Okay, go
you
ahead.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Brother Kevlar, and it's always good to hear Bruce. I remember a brother told me he was online in a fraternity, and a guy told him open his mouth. He opened his mouth, and he got hawked in it, spit right dead in his mouth. And he said to me, he said, you know what I did? I'm thinking, I know you whipped this. He said, nah, took it like a man. That's the degree we have been indoctrinated. And what Bruce said is so great, because not only fraternities and sororities, even the churches are going Greek. They said God is the Alpha and Omega. I wonder how many Christians know the Alpha is just the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And also, we celebrate the 4th of July. And in 1776, we didn't have our independence, but everybody's celebrating 4th of July, so we celebrate the 4th of July. And last thing I want to say is, every year people celebrate Easter. What day is Easter next year? You know what day the 4th of July is next year. You know what day Christmas is next year. Why don't you know what day Easter is next year? These are questions, and when someone asks that question, present the question to you, and you can't answer, that should let you know you have been indoctrinated, you have been misinformation, and that should open the way for more information that Bruce and other speakers of this program have to offer. But I appreciate the program because I was painting my bathroom. I need some inspiration to finish doing it. I said, Bruce, can you come on? Go ahead. So after listening to Bruce, I just finished the last spot on the wall. I'm good to go. I enjoyed today's program.
Thank you, Kevin Lang. Glad that I got to respond to that, Brother Martin. I won't take but a second to do it because I'm going to let you move on. But I really appreciate that, Brother. I'm glad you appreciate what it is I'm trying to give out to our people. You know, that's inspiration because sometimes I get to the point, man, they don't want to hear this. Let me leave them alone. Just let them while they're in their ignorance. But I appreciate that call, Brother Kevin Lang.
All right. Thank you, Brother Kevin Lang. We appreciate you, and thank you for continuing to be a supporter of the program. All right, I think, again, as we really look at how we will evaluate the changes that are in front of us as we have been indoctrinated, like you said, and many of these holidays we know support capitalism, right? And so the more that we contribute, the more that we give, the more that we make other people rich. And I think we just have to, no matter what you believe in or no matter what you feel or think, we have to be able to at least get it into our awareness, right? And then we can make an honest, open decision about what we want to do going forward. But I think the discussion is great. Let's go down to 1775. You just jumped in. You're on the line. Give us a shout out. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? 1775.
Hi. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, hi, I'm Shaquana B. Coke calling in from Richmond, Virginia. I just want to say that this was a great show today. I really appreciated the segment in regards to holiday and how we should look at it. We definitely have been indoctrinated. I know for myself, I found myself celebrating those holidays just like everyone else over the years. And then the more that I educated myself and I became aware of just, you know, what things really mean now. I've been able to educate my children, and I can kind of change the precedence in my household. So I appreciate shows like this that can continue to keep me educated and informed and to keep me searching for what else is out there as far as information goes. So I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sister, for calling. Mm-hmm. And remember, knowledge is power. You got anything you want to say, Dr. Bruce, to the sister?
I appreciate her enjoying what I had to say, and that's about all. And the only other thing I wanted to say, Brother Marvin, is that some of those new people, I don't think you said you may have, but I think you didn't tell them that you'd be calling the last four of their numbers. You normally do, but I don't think today you said that, because we had some people from the class who told me they were just definitely going to call and make some comments, and I think they might be out there.
All right. All right, well, they're not on the call line because we've gone through all the calls that's currently on the line. And the sister that we just talked to just jumped in. So it is available.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know.
9250 is the number. If you want to call in right now, if you got a question or comment, we got 24 minutes and 33 seconds left in the show. 845-277-9250 is the number to call. We're talking about holidays. We're talking about sororities, fraternities. How about the Masons and the Shriners and those organizations, Dr. Bruce?
Well, first of all, we have to realize that the Black Church was very, very instrumental in building some great organizations, such as the Black Masons. And they did a whole lot to help the community when other organizations would not. So I want to make that clear. And also, since you mentioned the Masons and the Shriners and those organizations and the Elks, they do a lot of good things in the community. And you must remember that Prince Hall was a Mason. And Prince Hall, during the time of the American Revolution, started the African Lodge for black men because, like everything else in this country, the Masonic lodges were segregated also. Black men could not join the white lodge, and even today they're still segregated to a certain extent. But just as the African-American church came out of the AME came out of the CME, the African lodges came out of the white African lodges, and they began to do something for the black community. So I have to applaud them for doing that anytime that they're trying to do something for our community. And oftentimes when people need the rent paid, they had the Willing Workers Society, and they would do things. So a lot of good social organizations did come out of the church and were very important to us as a people. No doubt about it.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. So for our listeners that is out here, that this is new in terms of knowledge and information, this is new information in terms of the holidays, it's new information in terms of some of the things that you said about the fraternities and sororities, what are some what would you consider to be options, right, for alternatives for utilizing these holidays? And I noticed you said you could just celebrate Thanksgiving at any time. What would you say to someone who said, well, Christmas is all I got, or Thanksgiving is all we know? What would you tell our listeners?
I think they should take the time off and do exactly what you said, be with the families and have a good meal if they need to, but understand that they don't have to rob me or rob you or hock all the jewelry and take it to the pawn shop just to have a Merry Christmas. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And just don't let the society make you feel guilty because you can't fit into that system, you see. So I think they should be used as a time to be positive. And a good alternative is what Brother George often talks about is Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa works quite well for several people and has the good seven principles, and the principles are positive. So it's a good time to incorporate Kwanzaa into the diet of the children and people who are growing up and who don't know anything any different. The only reason we do what we do is because of what we've been taught. That's all. Had we been taught differently, then we would act differently. You see, you have to. You only respond to what it is that you have been exposed to. That's really what it is. If that's what all you've been exposed to, that's all you know. You see. But nowadays, as I said before, I repeat that we there's too much knowledge on the scene now for us to just bow down to all the teaching that white people have given us in this society. There's too much out here now. to just bow down to everything that's been given. We have options now. On the plantation, we had no options. And we claim we're off the plantation, we're free. Let's exercise some of those options. So that's what I say about it.
All right. I like that.
Thank you,
Dr. Bruce. Let's go.
And more importantly, think. That's what we should do. We should just start thinking about what we're doing and what's going on. You see, because crime rate goes up around Christmas time, and also around Christmas time, people are in distress, and under stress and distress because they don't have money, and they're changing names and office, and if you can't give a person what they give you and you don't have the money, you feel guilty about it. And it's really a lot of things that we need to look at as a people, you see. It's really true. And just don't let this system dictate to us what to do when they want to do it. I might not feel like having a turkey at Thanksgiving. I might want some pork chops, because that's just an example. I don't mean that, Brother George. You still there? But anyway, I'm just saying, use your own mind. That's all I'm saying. That's just being a little complicated.
All
but
right.
Use your own mind, brothers and sisters. Okay, you got another call? You say, Brother Marvin?
Yeah, use your own mind, brothers and sisters. We're going over to 9282. And before we go there, 845-277, we still got time. 9250, you can call in and ask a question. If you're having a thought or a question or concern or, you know, just something that you want to say, it's always
just say you listen, right?
Conversation. Right. Okay. 9282, you're up next. Welcome
yes,
to the
sir.
Show.
Brothers, assalamu alaikum.
Brother.
Yes, sir, my brother. Look, brother, you know one thing I want to say right quick is most black folk where I am right now, up here in Richmond, Virginia, you know where we are today. We're Virginia State homecoming. We're Virginia Union homecoming. Going back to what Dr. Bruce was talking about, a bunch of your fraternities and sororities, that's where most black folk are in Richmond, Virginia are today. We're Union homecoming. We're State homecoming. Now, homecoming, what the hell is that? Again, going back to what Dr. Bruce was talking about today, he was just adding, like I said last week, and I'll repeat that again, we have to be honest with ourselves, and it's a fact. This is not speculation. This is not theory. This is not in guesswork. The fact of the matter is we are raised and educated in a system we did not create. That's why we say, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. Happy New Year. Happy Valentine's Day. Giving chocolates, candy, and so forth. Then we go to Easter and hide the eggs and dye the eggs and put them in the ground and have them Easter Monday. We say they're going to sunrise service because the sun shouts on Easter Sunday. That don't shout on any other day, but it shouts on that Easter Sunday morning. Good Friday. What's good about the day Jesus was supposed to be killed? Good Friday. But we do that because we are raised in a system we did not create. It's not coming from our mind, and we teach it to our children generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. We just pass it on. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and that's why we do the things we do. And we've got to wake up to that fact. Like Dr. Bruce said, we have to. I tell the students at the school all the time that our greatest asset is our minds. We must use our minds. And we got, to me, in my humble opinion, we've got to say, we've got to ask ourselves, why not die fighting for freedom instead of dying running from death? See, we fear death so much, that's why we sell out as a people. We take the money, I'm going to be nice again this week, we peddle the BS. We peddle the garbage that we feed it to our children. And you said, brothers and sisters, say, well, Christmas is all I know. I said, all I know is how I raised. Well, like Dr. Bruce said earlier, analyze, ask yourself. We have to discover the truth in ourselves. We have to use our minds and look at this. If this is what we've been taught and we agree on that fact, then we got to take different actions. You know, what if one Christmas, if we all said we ain't spending not one damn dime on Christmas? I don't care. We ain't buying turkeys. We ain't buying. I don't care about that. We ain't putting up no trees. We ain't doing nothing. You know what we're going to do on Christmas? We're going to stay home. Or we might even meet in a park somewhere and say hey to everybody. Not because it's Christmas, because that's what we want to do. I ain't spending no money on this. No more. I ain't going out to buy the suits for Easter. But just think of the power
that's recaptured.
We have if we just, yes, sir.
That's recaptured African mind, brother. That's exactly
yes,
right.
Sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right,
well, let me hold you right there. Let me hold you right there,
okay, brother.
I'm going to keep
yes,
you
sir,
on the line. But I'm going
yes,
over
sir,
to, we just got, somebody just popped in. 9785. 9785, you're up next. Do you want to add to the conversation, question, comment, thoughts? Where are you calling from? 9785, you're on the line. You're live.
This is Reverend Shirley Jones. Just calling.
Hey, Reverend Jones. How are you?
We're broadcast this morning by Brother Bruce, and he gave us the number, so I thought I would give it a try, but I guess I missed him.
I'm still here. Why she say she missed me?
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you speak, so that's why I said I thought I'd miss you. I didn't hear you.
How long you been on?
I just got on there because I just got back. I had some errands to run, so I missed it. That's all right. I'll catch you another time. This ain't gonna be the
okay,
last.
Okay, no, I'm still on there, just taking calls or questions and comments, but I'm still on. So stay with us, Reverend Jones. Do I know you from anywhere?
You ought to know me, Brother Bruce. You just seen me this morning. We was in the class.
Oh, you were at the. See, I'm glad you said that. You were at the session today. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Lord, long as you've been knowing me, you're going to remember me one day.
Yeah, I know, but I'm glad you called in. I hope you enjoyed the session that Dr. Maxwell and I gave today.
Yeah, it was really nice. You gave some history in there in a matter of seconds. But we should have more time to get more involved in that thing. But maybe
look, give me some invitations. Invite me somewhere. Invite me to the party, and I'll dance.
Well, we're going to have to get with Doc on that and see if we can't come up with something. Need some,
okay.
Need some
all right, Dr.
That.
Bruce.
Need some more of that. Need some more of that, please.
This program is on every Saturday, too, Reverend Jones. And so just tune in to Brother Marvin every Saturday. I'm on here about every other Saturday, but it's a good program every Saturday.
Okay. I got the number now.
Right.
So, yes, I will do that. And I'll tell some people about it also. Hopefully get some few more
all
people
right,
come in and different.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you, Reverend Jones. Thank you for calling.
Thank
hey, Dr. Bruce, Dr. Maxwell just called me on my line, and I wanted to see if he wanted to get in. He's not on the call-in line. He called my phone directly. Can we get him on the line? Does he have a question or comment? Is he still near you?
He said he just called. He said he called you by mistake, Brother Marvin. He's listening.
Okay. Tell him he
called.
We're
going to get him on one day to talk about blacks in the Bible. We got him. Don't worry. I got him coming for you.
All right. Let's go over to Brother George. Brother George, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a brief comment. I really appreciate what Bruce does and what he's done for our people for the past 30 or 40 years. And I appreciate the comments from Brother Kevlan and from Brother Booker and Dr. Maxwell as well. But the thing that I think holds our people back is the fact that because we're a disunified lot, and from the days of the 50s and 60s and 70s, where we've been brutalized by whites, something that I think that we don't really acknowledge enough, that they actually brutalized us. And we're fearful. We're fearful to stop doing certain things that Dr. Bridges is talking about, because we fear the repercussion. We fear to not send our children to school in green on St. Paddy's Day. because then our children will be scrutinized by the class why you don't have when you're green and you're white. Because I remember my mother had us in green on St. Patty's Day. I didn't know what it meant, none of that. But all of the holidays we participated in, and much of the idea is our people are still afraid. We're still afraid to not do things the way that white folks' world is set up. We're afraid to unify because it was a punishment back in the day for unifying. We'll come and blow your church up. We'll burn your house down. And see, because of the fact that they physically did those things, they didn't just threaten to do them. They did those things. Our people are still afraid from that. And it's hard for us to teach our people because it takes a certain amount of courage. And I remember Dr. Amos Wilson spoke on this, and he said, the only way we're going to get out of this is we're going to have to get over our cowardice. And until that happens, it's not that our people don't absorb the information and that they don't know you're right. They know you're right. But they're afraid of the repercussions for following through on being ourselves. Fear of being yourself. So I know it's not much time left in the show, and it's more people that want to give their opinions and views and ask questions. And so it's back to you.
I'd just like to jump in for a minute, Brother George. I think you're making some things very clear. And what I did is I just turned back to my book on page 201, and I want to quote Dr. Malifi Asante again. He said that 500 years of constant propaganda, cultural exploitation, information distortion, and physical annihilation have left the African world shocked out of its own historical reality and purpose in the world. And that's what you were just saying.
Yes. That's right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. 845-277-9250 if you have a question or comment. I will go back to Brother Booker for a minute, if y'all don't mind. So let's talk about solutions, right? If our people move away from these holidays and traditions, and Dr. Bruce and Brother George and our Brother Booker, we'll just have a brief discussion. We've got about 7 minutes, we said four. What alternatives, right, to the traditions that we have right now? What are some options for our people to choose from when we know that those are the options that's been made available to us, whether by choice or by force? I'll go to Brother Booker first, then Brother George, and then Dr. Bruce.
Create our own traditions. We need to create a system, not saying that we don't already have them, but we create our own traditions. We need to create our heaven. We need to create our world to pass on to our children. Y'all were talking earlier about uplifting the children, educating the children. We can't uplift the children and educate our children until we uplift ourselves and get ourselves ready, get ourselves right, so when we pass it on, we pass it on correctly to our children. And we've got to identify and create in our minds the system, our system. What does our world, what should our world look like? What should our heaven look like? And create that and bring that forward from our minds. How are we going to work as a society? How are we going to work as a people? You know, do we have kindergarten, preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, master's degrees, PhDs? That's a whole another man's system. Come from our minds. Come together. But to do that, obviously, brother, we got to go back to what Brother George and Brother Bruce were saying earlier today. We have to come together as a people, but we have to unite in our minds and bring forth. Heaven is in us. It's in our minds. We create heaven. God, we don't die to go to heaven. We create heaven, and we need to create
All right.
our heaven.
Thank you, brother.
We're talking about recapturing the African mind. This is a great way to start. Brother George. Thank you, Brother Booker.
Yes, sir. Well, I think that that the biggest issue that we have is not whether we have the ideas or not. We don't have the money, the finances. And so until we figure out the economic piece, it's going to be a struggle setting up operations to teach our children, because we don't have anything to lure them in. You got to have something to, when the people have been broken for so long, you have to have something that lures our young people in and adults to want to participate in what it is that we're doing. And so there has to be more of a benefit than just learning information, because we don't understand the value of learning information right now, because we've been away from it for so long. So we have got to figure out the economic piece. And once we are capable of doing that, well, we're capable, once we're able to do that, I think that we can that the ride will start downhill from there, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Dr. Bruce, we're recapturing African mind. Where do we start?
All right, I'm here, and as a matter of fact, on next week, the part of the book we're going to go into is something dealing with those economics and where we spend our money and those kind of things that Brother George said. But I do believe that once we learn who we are, then we'll begin to just, certain things will just fall into place in terms of how to spend our money, not to spend it on things that we know we really don't need, that don't relate to us. We won't buy turkeys when we know we don't have to have them on in November, and we won't buy Halloween masks. When you know who you are, a lot of things will just fall into place just kind of naturally, even if it's not called economics. Certain things you just know you won't do because you
right.
know who you are as a person. Nobody has to tell you or anything. Nobody has to tell you don't go out and spend $60 to $75 on a Christmas tree. Nobody has to tell you that it's about economics and look at the economics of it. You just know that you don't buy a Christmas tree because it's nothing at all to do with you and your culture and your heritage. You see, so once you learn who you are, certain things will just naturally and automatically fall into place. And many of our mental diseases, and that's why I call them diseases, many of our mental diseases will be treated automatically. They'll be treated automatically when we know who we are.
Thank you,
and
Dr. Bruce, once again. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, and we'll talk about that a little later, but once we know who we are, things will sometimes automatically fall into place.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. We're deep into the recapturing the African Mind series with Dr. Bruce. It's hard work, right? It's hard work to change your mind.
Oh, man.
Would
it's definitely hard work. Definitely hard
Brother George,
work.
Did you have something?
No, sir. I'm good.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up from here. We got about a minute left. I just want to say thank you for listening. If you don't do anything, do this. Consider, critically think, right? Evaluate. Go back and listen to the show, right? And see how some of the stuff make you think and make you feel. And if it makes you uncomfortable, that's okay, right? It's just like, again, some good witch hazel. It might not taste good, but it might just be good for you. You just never know. But until we start to critically think about what we do, why we do, what we do, and how we do it, right? We have the economics to change our reality. We have the resources in our hands to create the institutions that define our own reality. But our minds have to be in the right place. Our hearts have to be in the right place. And we got to find love for ourselves and our kind. And I'm not saying throw away your holidays. I'm not saying that. I'm saying evaluate them and make them work for you. If you had the resources to go out and spend, that's what you want to do, spend, but also find organizations to contribute to. Find an institution, find a young person, find a community or a disadvantaged community to invest in. And most importantly, do the work of working on yourself, and that work starts with you, and it starts at home. And then from home to each family, and then each community. So that's it for this week. Join us next week. It's African American Empowerment, 365 Days of Motivation and Personal Empowerment just for you. I'm Marvin Ross. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Peace and blessings.